Who says that you can't have fun and be a Christian? Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, she didn't know I'm doing this, but I'm just going to sneak up here and I'm going to ask our speaker to come up here today. We have Sister Nicole. She's going to come up and minister to us. Folks, I just want to come up here and say something nice about my wife. You know, one of the things I can definitely say about her is she is the real deal. She doesn't only preach up here, but she preaches at home too. I'm telling you, my wife has inspired me. We all go through journeys as a Christian, amen? We all go through ups and we go through downs. And going through a journey with Jesus is a relationship, amen? And sometimes we have our downs and we're there to encourage one another. The Bible says the iron sharpeneth iron, amen? And I'm so thankful that God has given me a helpmate in my wife that is, when I go through my downs or my ups, she's there to celebrate with me or encourage me when I'm down. And God has blessed me so immensely, and I'm so thankful for that. And I just want to ask her to share a word that God has given to her for us today. In Jesus' name.
I appreciate my husband, too. I always tell people, those of you who knew me as a teenager, I still am, but learned to curb it a little bit. Very strong-willed, very opinionated, very boisterous. And there were five things I prayed for in a husband, and one of the things I prayed for is somebody that was stronger than me, somebody that could lead me and guide me. And he gave me him. And the first 5 years, I will tell you, I thought I wasn't going to survive because God gave me exactly what I needed, and I appreciate him for that. So God had given me a few weeks ago a title, Passionate Pursuit and Prayer. And I prayed and I sought and I read the scripture, and I prayed and I sought and I read the Bible. I prayed and I sought. I called Rick. I called Vicky. I talked to Rick. I called, you know, my mom. It just wasn't coming, and I was so frustrated. And last night I just finally, God said, here it is. Never come in the night before not having what God wanted me to speak on. But I really believe that this morning, this is what God has for our kids, has for us as adults. And I'm excited to share something that God has put in my heart and refreshed in me. You can be seated. The passionate pursuit. When we fall in love with somebody, we pursue them with everything that we have. We want to know more about them. We talk to their friends. We search out who they are, what they believe, what their opinions are. And you know what's kind of funny is that our opinions sometimes change when we're pursuing that person and their opinions are a little bit different because we want to impress them. But we want to find out, why do they believe what they believe? Why do they do what they do? I want to know because I'm passionate about that person. And there is a man who is passionately pursuing us. And he is passionately pursuing us from the moment that we were conceived. From the moment that he created this entire universe, he passionately pursued us. He came to earth as a man. He gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins. He wanted a personal relationship with you. He wanted to know you. He endured a death that we would have never been able to endure. He was falsely accused. He was betrayed. He was betrayed by his closest friends, his disciples, people who said, I'm yours, I'm yours, I follow you. They betrayed him. He stood before a crowd who demanded that he be killed and a murderer be released. They covered him in a robe after they stripped him publicly. They placed a crown of thorns on his head. And they spit upon him and they mocked him and they beat him. And then if that wasn't enough, they ripped that robe off of his body and they gave him a 300-pound cross to carry up a hill, down a road, already in pain, already lost so much blood. Who else would do that for you? Who else would endure the pain that Jesus endured to passionately pursue you, to start that fire, to light that fire in your heart? Jeremiah 31:33, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. There is a Jewish symbol, and I'm sure some of you have heard this. I'm taking a little bit from Brother Woodward, but I really felt to share this was the shin. The shin is a Hebrew symbol that is in the probably part of the alphabet, if I remember correctly. And Melissa's going to put that up there for me. And it means I am God. That's what that means, that one symbol, I am God. And this scripture talks about writing it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. When he wrote this, and he made and he created the earth, there is a valley and some hills and mountains. And the mount, one of the mountains is where he was crucified. And in that valley and those mountains is this symbol. You can put that up too, Melissa. And you can see it as it goes around. So he has carved his name into the mountains and into the valleys. And this is the part that just fascinates me. How can we not believe that God created himself, or us for him, and has written and called us, is this next slide. And it's the human heart. And if you look around at the light pink that goes on the outside, it follows the shape of the shin. He is already, from the time that you were born and he started to form you, he is already written on your heart. We were spoken into existence by a passionate God, a God that was so passionate that he was ready to make sure you knew you were his. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. He passionately pursued us so that we can love him. God initially lights that fire in our hearts, but it's our responsibility to keep that fire going. And in Leviticus 6:12 through 13, it talks about the fire, the sacrifice that was put on that altar. There wasn't a fire already that was started. God lit that fire, and the sacrifice was consumed, including the fat that was on that fire. And when God gave specific instructions to the priests that they were to continue to feed that fire every single day, and as long as they fed that fire, it would not go out. But that was the stipulation. They had to feed the fire. It would have gone out if they didn't continue to feed it. Psalms 27:4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I felt really convicted about this part in this scripture. Because so many times I go into my prayer time and I leave and I think, oh, awesome. I just did an hour, hour and a half of prayer. I am doing awesome today. And then I look back at that prayer and I say, did I touch the throne room of God? Did I go in there passionately pursuing my God? Did I go in there asking him to know more about him? To tell him that I want more of him, to express a desire to live for him every single day, to want to be in the temple of God, to reach his throne room, to passionately engage in the things of God? Or have I left there asking him to give things to me? Have I left there not praising him the way that I need to praise him? David, what an awesome man. He was a man after God's heart. And that's because he gave to God passionately. Did he make mistakes? Yes, he made mistakes. We all know he made horrible mistakes. But God forgave him. And there was a time where in 2 Samuel, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Lord, was returned to the city of David. And David was so excited. He was so happy. He was passionate. He loved that the ark had come back to the city of David. And he ran into the street. He didn't care what anybody thought. He threw away everything that anybody could potentially think. And here is the king of a nation dancing and jumping in the middle of a street because God's glory, the thing that housed his glory, had been returned to the city of God. His wife mocked him, called him a fool. Do you really think you're that great? Do you think you're really great anymore? You just stood out there like an idiot and worshiped God, or danced around in her opinion. She didn't see that he was worshiping. David looked at his wife and he said, I don't serve you. I don't serve your dad. I don't serve these people. I serve God. And when I serve God, I'm going to give him everything that I have. I'm going to dance in the middle of the streets. I'm going to dance in the middle of the aisles. And I'm going to give him my passion, my heart. They're going to know who I live for. They're going to know what is in my heart. When we are in his presence and when we have that passion, nothing else matters. We can close our eyes and we can ignore the things that are around us. We can walk through life and not be consumed with those distractions, those things that get in the way, the things that the devil wants to throw at us. Psalms 27:5, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall be upon, or he shall set me upon a rock. When we have a passionate pursuit after God, we desire to talk to him. When something happens, he's our first stop. He's our plan A to Z, and we seek him for guidance. We don't come over here and say, okay, all right, God, if you don't answer, I'm going to do A, B, C, and then, okay, maybe Z over here. No, it's, God, what do I do? Where do I go? What do I say? God convicted me of this one day. We were in the midst of a trial, and I got some bad news, and I remember being home alone getting the news, and my initial thought was, who can I call? I called Rick, couldn't get a hold of him. I called my mom, couldn't get a hold of her. I called Michelle, couldn't get a hold of her. Called my sister, couldn't get a hold of her, and finally God said, what are you doing? Why are you calling everybody but me? And I fell to the floor sobbing. And I thought, you know, when we want that passion with somebody and we have that passion with somebody, we seek them in the time of trouble. We want to be there with him. We want to seek the direction that he wants us to go in a situation. There's nothing wrong with seeking out advice. He's given us the church. He's given us each other. But too many times we let each other be our first source. We need to walk through situations hand in hand with God, intently seeking his guidance. When is the last time that you sought God in your next step? When is the last time before you walked into your school or before you walked into church, you said, God, give me somebody to share your word with? God, what classes do you want me to take this year? God, what direction do you want me to go in my job? What direction do you want me to take my family? What devotion do you want me to share with my kids tonight? How can I show my kids my passion for you? If we don't have a passion for somebody or we don't want to be with them, they will push back. They'll push away. You have to pursue a friendship. You have to pursue a relationship. We have to pursue God. We've got to get that fire down inside of us. We've got to be so desperate for him. We need to know that it's his strength, it's his presence that walks us through each step. We can't live, we can't survive on rifle shot prayers. Rifle shot prayers are those prayers that, you know, you're in the car, God bless me today. Or you're in the grocery line and you're thinking, going through your budget, God, let this fit into my budget. You know, or I'll pray for you. Oh yeah, God, please touch Sister Melissa today. That's a rifle shot prayer. We're not going to survive on those. We need to be in prayer. We need to be compassionate with our God. We need to commune with him. We need to fellowship with him day in and day out. It's those daily moments in prayer that we expose our hearts completely to him. We lay it out for him to see. We're raw. We're open. He already knows what we're doing. He knows our thoughts, but there's something about confessing ourselves. There's something about that vulnerability of letting God know, really, I see this. I know I need to change, and this is what I am. God, reveal my heart. Take it. Make it yours. I long for an out-of-this-world experience with you. to lay prostrate before him, praising him, glorifying his name, praying his word. Know your word. How many of you guys know more statistics about a Hollywood star that you've never met? How many of you know more football statistics than you know scriptures in the word of God? I get so frustrated when I watch people get so excited about football games, and I just think to myself, are you kidding me? It is 32 below. You're standing outside with your shirts off, your skin painted green, and you're shouting as the men in some big stuffing fly across the field after a pig. That's how I look at football. And you're shouting and you're dancing, and you come home, you're sick, you might end up in the hospital, you might have frostbite, but it's worth it because you just cheered on a group of men you don't even know. And I get frustrated with that when those same people, and I'm guilty too, when I get excited about other things that I enjoy, and I walk in here and I give God second best. I'm not willing to come in here and make a fool of myself for God because I'm worried about what my brother or sister is going to say or think of me. And I have to get outside of that. I got to move past that so that I can have a passion with God. And it's the same thing in school. We have to set aside those things that our friends are going to say because you know what? You have the truth living inside of you. You have God inside of you, and these children are going from person to person and thing to thing to find out something that's going to fill them, and you have the answer. You have that passion. If you see somebody really enjoying something and they're excited about it, you want to know more about what they're talking about. You want to get excited in it, and those friends are going to get excited in what you are excited about. Matthew 4:3-4. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made to bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. People alone with God can't do amazing things. Or people alone with God, excuse me, can do amazing things. We can't do it by ourselves. We have to stop relying on our talents, our hobbies, our smarts, and being so busy in ministry, but never doing it with God. That passionate pursuit is when we rely fully on God, and we don't go forward without the anointing of God, without knowing that what we're supposed to do is what he's called us to do. And to know that when we go where we go, God is in control. He's there with us and he wants to guide us. We want to desperately long for him. He desperately longs for us. He desperately longs for us to want him, to desire him. I know that wasn't very long, and I'm going to have our praise team come up at this point for altar call. In Hebrews 5:7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. Jesus was heard because he had a reverence. His flesh had a passionate pursuit after God. His flesh had a passionate pursuit after us. Because of his love, we have salvation. Through death and his resurrection, Jesus became the author of our salvation. We have salvation through him. I'll have you stand with me. The fire starts in our hearts when we have repented. When we are honest before God and let him clean out our hearts, it's already his. We might as well give it back to him. We might as well get rid of all that other stuff we've decided to fill inside of it. He's already written his name on it. We just have to give it back. We have to completely clean it so God can abide in it. If we have stuff in our hearts, he can't abide there. He's a jealous God. He wants you alone and nobody else and nothing else. Have you guys ever tried to start a fire with wet wood? No matter how big of a piece you put on, if it's wet, it's not going to light. And if it lights, it smokes. The fire is not very hot. The fire is not very strong. The cleaner your heart is, the more dedicated you are, the faster that flame is going to burn, the bigger it's going to be. Once we have repented, the fire of the Holy Ghost explodes inside of our heart. The evidence of a fire is its heat in the flames. Tongues is the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Fire being ignited in our hearts. Our passionate pursuit of Him continues daily in prayer, fasting, and reading His word. That's what's going to keep the fire burning. As we do the altar call, I want to ask those of you who want to pursue a passionate experience with God. Maybe you already have the Holy Ghost, but you need a refilling. You need that passion to be returned to your heart. Or maybe you don't even have the Holy Ghost and you want the Holy Ghost. I want you to come up to the altar. The kids, I want you and the adults as well. Close your eyes. I want you to focus on God. Lift your face. God wants to see your beautiful face. He loves you. Lift your hands in surrender to Him. Give God everything that you are, letting Him know that you want Him to be inside of you, to be in your heart. Lift your voice. Talk to Him. Don't worry about who's next to you. Don't worry about what so-and-so is thinking. It's just you and God. Get passionate about Him. Dig into what He has for you this morning. Jesus. God, I love you. I praise you.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is here in this place. Hallelujah. Whatever you came to church with today, He is here and He is calmly, patiently waiting for you. If you have a need, He is a perfect gentleman. He's not going to barge in on your life, but He's waiting for you to come to Him. Amen. Hallelujah. We are the church. Hallelujah. If anyone knows about fire, it's the church. Hallelujah. It was in the church that He poured out His Spirit upon all flesh. Amen. It was in the church that they were in the upper room, the birth of the church. The Bible says that they were in one mind and one accord. And there was an outpouring of His Spirit. It sounded of rushing mighty winds. And you may hear somebody here today speaking in tongues. And you think, wow, that is crazy. I've never heard that before. But you know what? You look back in the book of Acts at the birth of the church. And it was right there. Hallelujah. And you can experience that here today. Come on down to this altar area is open for you. Whatever your need is here today, God wants to minister to you. Let's let that fire kindle in our hearts. Maybe it's been a while since you've relit that fire. The Lord wants to meet you here today. He wants to relight that fire in your heart. All you have to do is be the willing vessel and say, God, I'm open to you. I want you to come in and light that in me, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. And the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against that church. Amen. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care how much hell you're facing. That hell cannot overcome the blood of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's get that fire burning strong for Him tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Burn within us, Lord. Burn within us, Lord. That passion, that fire, that